You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 575.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Well. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. All right. This is it's Sunday morning. We should say this happened, I think, earlier this year. This is a done in one Flopcast. We're going to record this thing. I'm going to edit it and then release it all in the same day because the whole week slipped away from us without doing the show. And so here we are. We're hitting our deadline. So this has got to be quick.
Well, lucky for you, I spend most of my life doing things at the last minute, so I'm ready for this.
We are ready, but yes, yeah, so we should have mimosas. It's Sunday morning. You know, I did not plan for this at all. I've got my coffee. I guess that'll have to do.
Oh, no, I want a mimosa, specifically a strawberry one. In case anyone's listening, please bring me a strawberry mimosa. Yeah,
fancy Sunday Flopcast brunch is what we're missing.
And I do have like a little bit of toast and jam here with me, so
I don't think that's good enough.
No.
We're going to be quick today, but we're going to start as usual with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
So, Kevin, I have to ask you something. Does the name Officer Trillia ring a bell?
No.
Okay, cool.
Didn't even have to think about it. I don't know that name.
Well, cool, because that gives us something interesting to talk about, because a certain go-go is going to be having a birthday.
Uh-huh.
Jane Wiedlin is turning 65 this year on May 20th.
I adore Jane Wiedlin. I mean, we love all the go-go's.
Yes.
But how do you not love Jane?
Co-founder, co-writer of the song Our Lips Are Sealed.
Yep.
And also a Star Trek character.
Oh, that's right. Which Trek was she on?
She was in the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Oh, she was in IV? I don't even remember that. The one where they go back in time and save the whales.
Yes, exactly. That one. She was in there for a whole 8 seconds, but she was there. And she's been a Star Trek fan all of her life. So this was a huge dream come true. For the 8 seconds you can see her, she has like a flock of seagulls haircut.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's really funky hair.
And that would have been around the same time as her post-Go-Go's solo hit, Rush Hour.
Yes.
Rush Hour, which I adore. That's just a gorgeous piece of 80s pop.
Every time I think I know everything there is to know in order to appreciate the Go-Go's, I learned something new. And I did not know about the Star Trek connection, and that made me so happy.
Yes. Jane is the only Go-Go I have actually met.
Oh, we should take a drink for that.
Don't we usually drink when somebody dies? Jane is...
Oh, I've got this backwards.
Jane is...
I haven't had enough coffee to know what I'm doing yet.
Very much alive.
Yes, she is.
I met Jane very briefly, many years ago. This must have been 15 or so years ago. Yeah, I remember telling her how much I loved the Go-Go's reunion album, because they did that early 2000s record, God Bless the Go-Go's, which was terrific.
Yes.
And then in addition to, I've seen her with the Go-Go's a few times, but then I also went to a weird show. She has a weird kind of a synth pop duo thing called Electro Domestico, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's her and a guy as a weird pop duo. And yeah, we saw them do a show just a few years ago in Plymouth, I think, Plymouth, Massachusetts, you know, where the pilgrims landed.
Yeah.
So that someday in this new world, we could go see a Jane Wiedlin show. And that was great. Yeah. Petty Morals was opening for them, favorites of ours. So yeah, I'm a longtime fan of Jane. She's super cool.
I wondered what you thought about her electronic duo work.
Yeah, they're good. I've got the record.
You have a high bar for that sort of thing.
Yeah, so very different from the Go-Go's, but a very cool project from Jane. Because, yeah, Jane is a writer. Like back in the Go-Go's days, it was really Jane and Charlotte were the songwriters of the group, which I think started to lead to some of the tensions within the group, because Jane and Charlotte were making a lot more money than everybody else.
Ooh.
All the songwriting money was pouring into them.
Well, where she is such an animal rights activist, too, it's cool that she was in the Star Trek that was all about saving the whales.
That's right. I think we can personally thank Jane Wiedlin for saving the whales. Thank you, Jane.
Yes.
And happy birthday.
Well, that's the bar for being celebrated on National Whatever Day. You have to do something very important.
You better save a whale or we don't care.
Right.
We're not going to wish you a happy birthday. That's our new policy.
Only whale savers only.
Yeah, tighten things up around here. We got a lot stricter about birthdays. So we kind of left everybody on a cliffhanger last time. It's been longer for us than for the listeners, we should say right now.
It's true.
The last show we did, that's when we were together. We were actually together in the same room, in the same weird little hotel room in New Hampshire.
Full of fish and cookies.
That was like over 2 weeks ago for us, because we recorded that show early and we're recording this show late, even though they're just coming out a week apart. Yeah, you stuffed me full of giant delicious cookies because the next morning I had to run a half marathon. I brought the rest of the cookies home to the mayor of Chickentown, by the way. So no cookie left behind. They were all those big, weird, wonderful cookies were devoured and appreciated the following day. The other thing about that was the Margarita Half Marathon up there in New Hampshire that I was supposed to run, and it was going to be very rainy the next day. Even I was in New Hampshire for like 2 days, and I never saw the sun.
Not even a sliver.
That was a rainy weekend. So yeah, we were a little concerned about this is going to be a cold, rainy half marathon, and yes, it was.
I am just glad that you, like, a big wave of water didn't come and just sweep you right off the course, because I was very concerned.
You did not disappoint with your miserable weather forecast. But, you know, it was fine, actually. It never got too bad. It was not a downpour. It was never horrifying torrential rain. It was steady to light through the whole thing. It was fine. Once you get going, you feel okay. I ran the whole thing with three friends of mine, so we just had fun, you know, the whole time. I was together with my little group, and it was good. We got through it. We survived. I got my margarita at the end.
I was gonna ask. We've all been wondering, was the margarita any good?
The margarita, yes. I decided, because I think the people I was with, they were like, we don't care about margaritas. Let's get out of here. And I was like, I'm gonna go get my margarita.
I worked for this.
Yes. So at the finish line, for one thing, they hand you one of those like silver foil blankets, you know, like it's a disaster relief situation. It's like I'm in Hurricane Katrina, like somebody's wrapping a blanket on me.
How do those actually work when you're soaked to the bone, essentially?
You know, at first I thought, oh, I don't think I really need this, but I was just amused by the fact that, oh, it's one of those blankets like I've seen people wear on TV. So I thought, okay, I'll take a blanket. But then once you cool down, you know, after the race, once you've just been standing there in the rain for a few minutes, suddenly it's like, oh, I sure am glad I'm covered in this.
You're really happy you have
it. This weird silver blanket suddenly really, really was appreciated.
I've had to use one of those weird silver blankets before.
You've had the weird silver blanket.
Yeah, I did.
What happened?
There was a February morning. I was teaching a water aerobics class just outside of Boston, and the fire alarm went off in the building, and I had to usher a whole bunch of people who had just been out in the pool directly out into the winter cold. So we had a whole sea of silver blankets.
Where did the blankets come from? Who had silver blankets?
One of the administrators brought them out of the building.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to think, though, maybe they were like beamed down from on high, but I'm sure somebody who was more important than I was handing them out.
I think Jane Wiedlin traveled back in time and delivered the emergency silver. That's why they're silver. They're from the future.
Yeah, that's why I'm still alive today, actually.
All thanks to Jane. So yeah, I was wrapped in my silver blanket, and then I made my way over to the tent where margaritas were being served. So you go inside this muddy tent, and yeah, I was handed a margarita. Shockingly, it was really good.
If it isn't everything delicious after you've exercised, though.
Yeah, it might have been the context. That this is either a really good margarita or the fact that it's a miserable rainy day and I just ran 13.1 miles. That's why it's good. I don't know. Either way, a fine, fine margarita. And we survived the rainy New Hampshire margarita half marathon. Now, that was actually just the warm-up, though, because I think we mentioned last week, the following week, which is, as we record now, it's a week ago because our recording schedule has gotten so weird. The week after the half marathon, I had a full marathon.
Yeah, this is why I think you're crazy. Because if I had run 13 miles in one day, I would have said, that's it for the next few years. But not you. I didn't say few years. I ran a mile back in 1993 that I'm traumatized about till this day. So you... The very next weekend.
This was a week later. Yeah, down in Providence, Rhode Island. It was the Providence Marathon. So yeah, we went down to Providence and a beautiful day, but then it turned out a little too beautiful.
Right. Not a beautiful day for runners.
Got up to about 80 degrees, which for running a marathon is a very, very hot day.
Right.
Like that's a problem.
You have to train in Kenya in order to be able to do that, right?
Too hot for a marathon, as it turns out. But there we were. Yeah, Providence Marathon. And felt good. So we took off. This was my first official marathon. Like I've done that distance just running around on my own like an idiot once or twice, but I've never been in an actual marathon until Providence. Started out fine. We were going along. I felt good. I'm moving. It's good. Everything's fine. A big crowd, a lot of spectators. There are people with bells and funny signs and stuff all throughout Providence and the Rhode Island area. So that was fun. Then in some parts it just gets weird. Like it's not just people with signs and cheering and yelling and stuff. Like at one point there was a woman standing on the side of the road wearing like giant hands, like Mickey Mouse hands.
Oh, weird.
I don't know why. She's kind of dancing around and she had giant Mickey Mouse hands.
Are you sure you weren't just hallucinating at this point from the heat?
I might have been in Toontown. I'm not sure.
Wow.
I kind of waved back at her, and she was delighted. She freaked
Aww.
Out. Yeah, so I made a weird Mickey hand lady happy. She wasn't even the weirdest thing I saw, though, because...
No.
Also, I mean, people have signs that say various things. Some of the signs are very funny or whatever. But then there was this couple. There was a guy and a girl standing along the road, and they were holding, it wasn't the sign. It was a giant, like, photo cutout, like, giant, like, maybe 5 feet tall. It was Jeff Goldblum's head.
Why?
They were just holding a giant Jeff Goldblum head. I don't know what that means.
I mean, I'm asking you why, but the truth is I ordered that for your marathon day, so you're welcome.
That was you. Well, yeah, you know, I enjoyed it, so thanks for thanks for ordering the Jeff Goldblum head.
I meant for you to be confused about that.
I was baffled. Again, I liked it. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'm fine with something really weird along the course. Got a long way to go. It helps to see weird things.
A giant head. I wonder if they might be Giants fans.
I pointed. I gave them the thumbs up, and they seemed very happy with that somebody appreciated their giant Jeff Goldblum head. So at that point, it's fine. You know, I'm going along. There's Mickey yep. Mouse. There's Jeff Goldblum. Isn't this fun? But then it just kept getting hotter and hotter. But mile 18 or so, I hit a wall. I was like, uh-oh, this is a problem.
Were you like Frosty the Snowman in that scene where he and Karen are in the greenhouse?
Frosty should not have gone into the flower shop. Yeah, that was a mistake. And I guess it was a mistake for me at mile 18. So yeah, I slowed way down at mile 18. So the first 18 miles were good. The last eight were a struggle.
A struggle through 8 whole miles sounds like the worst entire day of my life. This is just a part of a day for you.
Eventually, at some of the water stops, there were people, volunteers were standing there with pitchers of water. And like this woman said, anybody want me to pour this water down your back? And I was like, yeah, you know what?
Yes, please.
Hit me. Yeah, so I stopped a couple of times and what a weird thing to do. You know, you're just on the street and suddenly a stranger is just pouring a pitcher of water on you. Anyway, got to the end. Now, I don't know if you remember the first time we talked about this back like 5 years ago, I started this running nonsense. And the first actual race event that I did, I didn't know what I was doing. Again, it was a hot day that day. And that was only like a 4 mile run, but I was a wreck at the end. And if you recall, at the end of the race, I just collapsed on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happened again? At the end of the Providence Marathon, yeah, I was just staggering around looking for some kind of spot in the shade. And I've just found a patch of lawn under a tree in the middle of Providence. And I just collapsed on the ground.
So the winner of this race was gravity.
But that was Providence. I'm okay now. I've been healing up over the past week. I was in a 5K race yesterday. So back at it.
Wow. Nothing's stopping you.
You would have liked the guy. There was a guy who joined up with our group yesterday, and he was wearing a shirt from Ted Lasso. He was wearing like a Richmond soccer shirt.
Nice. Go Richmond.
Yeah, it said Rojas on it. He had the Danny Rojas shirt.
Danny Rojas is my favorite character.
It had the Banter logo on the front of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this was an authentic Ted Lasso Rojas soccer jersey.
I love Danny Rojas so much.
Yes, yes. I knew you'd appreciate that.
He's my hero.
So here we are. That's getting caught up on me stomping around like an idiot. Now we're just having a relaxing Sunday morning. Here we are. And we're keeping it short, so that's why this show isn't really about much of anything. So the only other thing I jotted down, I think, is I've been reading some comic books this week, which I have not been doing much of lately, especially like new comic books. I don't read a lot of new comic books anymore.
And wasn't Free Comic Book Day a little earlier this month?
That was last week, and I did not go to Free Comic Book Day. I didn't need any free comics. I have enough comics already.
You have enough, yeah. Not free comics.
Yeah, we're full. We're full here at the Chicken Town Studios. But I bought a couple of comics recently. And let's see, I bought, there's a new Shazam comic book just started.
Oh, fun.
And it was quite good. So I wanted to recommend if people, especially kind of if you're looking for more of an old-timey take on Shazam, because this new Shazam series, the writer, Mark Waid, has been one of the big main writers at DC for, 30 years now, I think. He was really trying to roll back some of the changes that they've made to the Shazam character in recent years, and he's taken it back to a more classic approach, but without completely abandoning the more modern takes on the character from the movies and more recent series and stuff. So it's a nice balance. Well, for one thing, like, he's not called Captain Marvel anymore. Because his name is supposed to be Captain Marvel. You know, like when they invented the character, like, his name's Captain Marvel. Shazam is the word he says to transform into Captain Marvel. And a few years back, they just surrendered the name Captain Marvel to Marvel, who has their own Captain Marvel character.
Right. You know,
the lady in the movies. So they said, okay, we're just going to call him Shazam. Well, in the new series, now they've changed that yet again. He's still not Captain Marvel, but they've sort of given him the unofficial nickname, the Captain.
Ah, I was wondering if they were going to go Captain Shazam, but I do like the Captain.
Captain Shazam would be so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid that I'm surprised they haven't done it.
Me too. That's why I thought that's the direction they were going in.
But again, same problem. Like, if your name is Shazam or Captain Shazam, and that's the word that transforms you between Billy Batson and the superhero version, then you can't say your own name, you know, without lightning striking and changing who you are. So it's a nice compromise. I like that they can just call him the Captain. It's a nod to his real name, and it's not completely stupid.
Otherwise, when they say, who are you? He has to say Captain and then kind of like put his hand over his mouth and go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What if every time you said cornflake, you just suddenly lightning struck and you just transformed into a bowl of cereal?
Ah, that'd be so messy.
That's what life would be like for the Captain.
Because I'm clumsy, so I would be a spilled bowl of cornflakes pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, so the new Shazam series, I read Shazam #1, and I liked it a lot, so I'll probably wait until they do a collected edition and read some more of it, but I do recommend it. Mr. Talky Tawny appears in it as well, which I was very happy to see. That's the talking tiger who was befriended by Captain Marvel back in the day.
So, sweet.
We do enjoy intelligent talking tigers around here.
Gotta have our tiger time.
Shazam's got one, so check that out. The other new comic I read this week was Peacemaker, a new Peacemaker series called Peacemaker Tries Hard. And I don't know if it's a miniseries or an ongoing series or what it is, but I read issue #1 of Peacemaker Tries Hard. Really good, really funny, and just based directly on the movie and the TV series, like the Suicide Squad movie and then last year's Peacemaker TV series. It's right in that same vein. It's not for kids. It has adult language. Very, very funny. And even he looks just like John Cena. Like they just drew Peacemaker to look just like John Cena from the TV show and the movie.
Nice.
Very well done. So I recommend that as well for Peacemaker Suicide Squad fans. They're getting it right in the new comic series. Wanted to mention those anyway, because we don't mention too many new comics here. But we don't have to, because for modern DC Comics talk, you can turn to Earth Station DCU. Here on the ESO Network.
It's true. There's a whole show devoted just to that.
They get you caught up every week on Earth Station DCU. But enough about me and the comics I'm reading, because you hinted before we started the show that you had some comic book news of your own, right?
I do, actually. What was it, about a year ago? We were talking about our friend John Sloan, comic book illustrator and writer, in the martial arts world. And of course, I'm a fan because I grew up doing martial arts and I think John is just great. Last year, John, writer of The Dojang, which is an online martial arts comic, released a collection called Jim and Celeste Collection 1 about two crazy kids in high school. And Jim is just starting to take up the martial arts. So it's the prequel to the Dojang comics that are online. And I was delighted.
We did a whole Flopcast top 4.5 list based on the Jim and Celeste comic book last year.
We did, because this collection of comics really takes you back to the mid-80s, and it's fun in that way. And so delighted was I about this comic that I reached out to John and I said, wow, these are really great. I cannot wait until you release your next collection. Well, when John heard that, he said, Cornflake, how about you write the foreword to the next collection?
Wow.
Me? Wait, you know I've never done that before, right, John? It's not like I go around writing forwards and have a ton of experience with this. I've never done that before.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that.
And so just recently, Jim and Celeste, Collection 2, October to November of 1985 came out. And I have it here in my hands.
Oh, so it's out now.
It's out. You can get it on Amazon.
Ah.
But you crack this baby open, what you're going to see is a foreword by Cornflake.
Wow, look at you.
So I wrote about how I met John nearly a decade ago and how we were mutual fans of one another.
You met in prison, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Or, you know, MarsCon, pretty close.
It's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
So, yeah, there is not just a foreword written by me, but there is a plug for this great podcast where they delve into all sorts of fun, geeky topics and pop culture, both past and present, every week, the Flopcast with Cornflake and Kevin. So we're in there. We're in the thank you notes.
Oh, that's very nice.
For our great shout out on the Flopcast from when we did our top 4.5 list. But you can get the paperback edition. I'd say get them both because they're both available if you don't have it yet. For a fun look back at the mid-80s, Jim and Celeste Collections 1 and 2, available now on Amazon from our friend, John Sloan.
Sure. So it's two volumes, 1 and 2. The foreword by Cornflake is in volume 2.
That is correct.
But yeah, nothing stopping you from getting them both.
You should. The art is great, and it'll take you back.
Flopcast listeners, you know what to do. Go get Jim and Celeste. You can read a foreword by Cornflake, and then after you read the foreword, you got a whole book of comics to read.
Yep.
It's not just the foreword by Cornflake. So there you go. That'll keep you busy. Congratulations on having a foreword in a book. That's impressive. And also a
super huge honor. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Thanks to John for the kind words about the Flopcast also. And I don't think anyone's going to have any kind words about this particular episode of the Flopcast, because again, we're just not doing anything today. This was just a quick, let's get caught up and then get this show out, because this show is coming out today. All got to happen very fast. So let's go ahead and wrap it up right there, Cornflake. Just get us out of here.
I'm on it, Chief. Flopcast.net is our website. We're also easy to find at facebook.com/flopcast, on Mastodon, universodon.com/@flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. You know where else to find us? on Apple Podcasts. That's also where it'd be super cool if you could leave us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Back in the day, there were Sponge Awareness shows that were so disastrous that when the show was over, we would actually wrap the audience members in those silver blankets. The Red Cross would step in. It really became like a disaster relief situation.
A true disaster scene. Sponges and shiny blankets everywhere.
Everywhere. But for now, hey, thanks for getting us through this silly little episode of the Flopcast. Everybody, please remember, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
For over 6 years, the 42cast has worked to provide panels discussing topics from every corner of the geekosphere. Continue with us as we count down to episode 200 and try something a little different. Celebrity guest contributions. Yes, Emma Dumont from The Gifted is partnering with us to talk about science, movies, and so much more. You can only find this great content on the 42cast. It's your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
Cornflake, it's the secret Flopcast after show. What are we doing?
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 just came out.
Yes, I saw it. Did you see it?
I saw it on the opening weekend, which is so not like me at all, but I totally did.
That's what I did the day before my Providence marathon. Day before, went to Guardians.
And as we all know here on the ESO Network, there are, of course, podcast after podcast talking all about Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Not totally our style, though, here on the show, but
every other podcast will give you a detailed review of Guardians 3, but nobody comes to the Flopcast for
that sort of thing.
For anything that happened in the last 35 years.
Right. So, having seen it, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. Probably not as fun as 1 and 2, but still quite good, and so sure, it's fine.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about it.
Thank you. I'm not exactly Roger Ebert over here.
Neither of us are. But I think it's okay to appreciate a movie and not be head over heels for it. And that's how I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Very well done. And I mean, we can't escape mentioning Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because the soundtrack moves into the 80s, of course.
Yeah, 80s and even 90s for part 3.
A little bit of 90s. And I have found that the music was really well done in the prior ones. This one surprised me a little bit, though. I kind of was surprised that they found a way to use the song We Care a Lot. I was not expecting that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Faith No More, right? And kind of a deep cut. You know, yeah. Like, that was not a hit.
It's a very strange song.
Yeah. That's pre-Mike Patton, Faith No More. That's before they had a hit.
But I have to say, one of my all-time favorite songs ever is This Is the Day by The.
Oh, okay. As far as the music, I feel like there was nothing on a par with Part 2's use of Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass.
That's true.
Nothing could approach the magnificence of Brandy. Although I was happy to hear In the Meantime by Space Hog.
Yes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.